May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 697. 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
Let us read the word of God, friends, in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time am I ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will verily, very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? again think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, O great God Jehovah, the true and living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, and the God with whom we have to do. O Lord, many may think they have not to do with such a God, the true and living God. But Lord, how it will be so, it must be so. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Thou knowest, Lord, how in thy truth thou dost solemnly warn. And Lord, we would solemnly warn in love, in preaching the word. But Lord, thou knowest too, oh, those things we were led to consider this morning. And Lord, we are continuing to be especially concerned and exercised for any who may be cast down in trouble, burdened, afflicted, passing through trial and tribulation. Thou knowest each one of thy people, their path and lot. And Lord, as each of thy people have to know and learn it more and more, that this is the path appointed for them. Oh, one put it in the theme, is this, dear Lord, the thorny way, thorny road that leads us to the house of our house above? Oh, is it, Lord? It is. And so we pray, Lord, for help tonight, and especially as we've been in this way singing, Lord, that wondrous theme of those wonderful words of acknowledgement, and what we need, Lord, how we need to be plunged in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. We come, Lord, now, beginning with our burden. Oh, one said, Lord, remove this load of sin, and this is what thy people need. Lord, even in this day, thy day, oh, here we have to say, we feel the grief, we fall, we do so commit sin in holy things, oh, we cannot keep ourselves. But Lord, we do beg we may know the wonderful favour of the remedy applied tonight, that remedy which one put it, see, the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. Sin's within me, all about me, Lord, but that remedy which is without us. We pray we may see it in the eye of faith. We may know the favour of that applying of it to us by the Spirit. The application by faith of the precious blood of Jesus is what thy people need. And Lord, thou knowest thus the word we feel given us to bring tonight. And Lord, ere we do humbly beg it may be so applied to us in all the wonders, the riches of thy grace. Lord, we may be so blessed in and under the favour of thy good love and mercy, Lord, here tonight. Oh, Lord, do help us. We may worship thee, our God, in spirit and in truth. Give us a true spirit of worship, Lord. May we be enabled by thy grace. You know, with those things we felt given us to deliver in solemn message this morning, all those many things that relate into the ways of our old carnal nature, but oh, the wonderful ways of grace, the wonderful favours of the great favour of grace in exercise, faith in exercise, faith in the bleeding lamb. And so we pray that we may know the favour of thy going on to be gracious to us in the wonderful applying of thy word to us tonight. And Lord, we may know the strengthening, the upholding, the keeping, the true blessing and the favour of the wonderful love of God. Oh, the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Do so, dear Lord, come tonight to bless souls. Suit thy blessing to each one. Feed them, favour them, Lord. Do them good. It is our exercise where trust thou givest us in burden for souls, love for souls. Oh, the favour, Lord, the way thou dost favour thy people whom thou hast set thy love upon. And Lord, how we do pray that precious souls may be confirmed in their most holy faith. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, how we felt led this afternoon in that part of thy word, how thou dost bring liberty, the favours of pardon and peace, oh, by the application of the precious blood of Jesus. We pray it may be so here tonight, that there may be those so blessed and favoured. Oh, Lord, the favour of thy wonderful love and mercy, mercies in Jesus that exempt us from hell. Oh, thy wonders. Oh, may we see thy wonders and speak and tell of them. Lord, help us to witness. Help a poor minister to witness in preaching. Oh, may there be the favour in the hearts of the people that they may have desire to witness to what the Lord has done for my soul. And so, Lord, bless any in any particular deep path of trial and tribulation. Oh, bless anyone who has a heavy burden, a burden on their back, a guilt upon their conscience. Oh, Lord, do come tonight and blot out thy people's transgressions, Lord. Thy word, oh, is so wonderful, has been to one, and the way thou didst seal it upon us many years ago now, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. And Lord, we do pray that precious souls may be so blessed, favoured, Lord, in these ways, to know and taste redeeming love. And Lord, as that which we have had in the theme of the hymn, redemption. Oh, redemption through thy blood, Lord. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Lord, oh, it's in these ways the dear people of God are truly blessed. And this is what we desire tonight, Lord, for we know that when and as thou dost bless souls, they will then so be constrained by thy love to make returns of love again to thee. And surely, Lord, this is an exercise in us, we hope. It is in the dear deacons here, we've heard of it, in their prayers before the services. And Lord, we do pray we may so feel the favour of the power of love divine, which all loves excelleth, here tonight, dear Lord. Lord, oh, do lead us on, lead us in the way everlasting, dear Lord. And keep us day by day. Help us to live unto thee, Lord, unto thy praise, honour and glory. They're now with those of us who have a short time now here upon earth. We know not how long. If thou dost spare us, Lord, may we live unto thee. May, Lord, we give our lives to thee in that way, in humble desire to worship and praise our God who has done such great things for us. So do help us, Lord. And as we've read the dear words, the words of the dear apostle, Lord, how in that way, in that communication, that part of the epistle, how he so graciously gives out that in the way of his willingness and his purpose, I am willing to spend and be spent. And we do humbly hope, us poor ones as we feel to be today, this is our exercise, Lord, and that willingness that thou dost give us to so be truly willing in the way of the work of the Spirit in us and the exercise we carry, the burden of the Word of God, made willing to spend and be spent in the holy name and purpose of our God. So help us, Lord. We feel so very small compared to the great Apostle Paul. But Lord, his wonderful testimony cheers us on as we desire it by thy grace. Lord, oh, we would be following the followers of the Lamb. Oh, we know it's important we should be concerned, carrying concern, that we might follow men, good men, as they follow their Lord. But Lord, we might not follow man in the solemn, awful steps of their ways. Oh, we've all got wicked ways. And so, oh, we do pray we may be able to discern the graces manifest in thy people and follow them in those things. And Lord, above all, we may be followers of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, to be seeing thee by faith gone before us. Oh, our glorious leader. Oh, what a word it is, a theme it is, much upon our spirit. And Lord, we desire it for all thy people. Our glorious leader claims our praise for his own pattern given, while the long cloud of witnesses show the same path to heaven. Same path, no new path, the same way, the one way, the path to heaven, following the Lamb, living by faith. Oh, Lord, do grant it to us each. You know it, Lord, the friends we understand have had the Sabbath school. We do especially pray for the dear young souls of thy dear people here. How good it was to speak to a dear brother that we know and love, and having his little daughter, Lord. And, oh, Lord, how there was in that miraculous way granted a little daughter. And Lord, there are the other little ones here, a number, Lord, and those two may be at home because of their young age and state, Lord, but thou knowest them all, of the families here, Lord. And Lord, the young people, and dear young people here present tonight, oh Lord, our burden for them is that if it be thy holy will, they may know the favours of thy love and grace in their early lives. Oh, one often thinks of being a hearer of the prayers in our very young days, in the cause of truth at Stopfold Hope, and the dear three godly deacons there, when we heard them pray, and our own dear godly grandfather, oh Lord, thou knowest, we heard those dear deacons. My grandfather, not a member nor a deacon, but the three dear deacons, used to hear them pray, Lord, and there was favour the young people with thy grace. Thou would so teach them and bless them in their young days. and one of the dear deacons especially expressed how it will save them from 1,000 snares to be brought to mind religion while they're young. But oh, we know he meant real religion, and we know real religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. But Lord, as we think and bear up before the dear young people here, the children, and Lord, thou knowest them all, and we wouldn't not remember anyone, we wouldn't miss any, but Lord, thou knowest them. Do bless them, could it please thee, according to thy will, to begin thy work in them in early days of their lives, and oh, it might be manifest in them and witnessed by the dear godly people here that this and that one is born in her, born by the Spirit of God, born again. Oh, may it be a concern in the young. Am I born again? Am I a child of God? Am I one that God has set his love upon? And Lord, as we have preached many times and in the ways of thy calling, thy beginning, and Lord, we know the real proof of sonship, real proof that any sons and daughters of God are truly so sons and daughters of God. Oh, if they are, they will be born again, they'll be called by grace. Their election is known by their calling, being called by grace. And so, Lord, we do pray that young souls here may be able to understand it and follow it and pray in this way. Oh, am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? But in the early days, am I called by grace? Do I have spiritual life? Lord, do bless the young. Oh, bless them with thy grace, according to thy will. We pray, believing, thou wilt do it, Lord. Oh, we know thou wilt do what is in thy holy will. And Lord, thou wilt quicken souls and make them cry. We pray for it. Jesus, save me or I die. Let thy work appear unto thy servants that come here. We sing, Lord, as announced our dear friend and brother John do on this coming Tuesday. I know his conversation with him recently when we were engaged to preach at Black Boys in Horam. And Lord, oh, we do pray that the wonderful things of thy grace may be made very blessedly attractive to the young people. Lord, there's no other way, none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, to know Jesus as our dear Saviour, our dear Redeemer. To know my Jesus crucified, like we sung. How Lord important it is to know it. Oh, Lord, do bless the young. Here we pray. And Lord, as we pray for the young, we mean the very little ones as well. We mean those older, those out in life. Lord, the young people of this cause of truth, the families here, Lord, do bless them. Do teach them. Lord, do save them. We beg of thee. And Lord, it may be a blessed joy in the hearts of the dear friends who are in midst of life or in old age, they may see the wonderful witness of thy continuing in this cause of truth. There may be a people here till the end of time to praise, honour and glorify their God. Lord, and we pray in this way for every little hill of Zion, every gathering of thy people. And those, Lord, and we think of those particularly now in the eastern lands, dear friend, dear Tim, Lord, in America, and we know there are those hours behind us, and Lord, as we know, our friends in that is in the western lands, in America, in the eastern lands, their Lord's day is finished now. But Lord, we do pray for our friends, wherever they meet, may they behold thy mercy seat, may they know thy presence. And may thy living family, dear Lord, enjoy salvation full and free. Hear us, Lord, too, for our country as we brought before thee this morning, our rulers, those in authority over us, His Majesty the King. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we offer them, praying even day by day and many times in our meditation, in concern and exercise in the things of our land, our country. And Lord, all these things we are given to carry in exercise through the work and operation, leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 732. 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
friends, it's laid upon me, I trust, to bring before you, to speak to you from the words that we've read in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 9th verse. That is the word I trust we are given of God to bring before you tonight, if the Lord help us. But before we go, before I read it and announce it, I felt much overwhelmed in singing in the hymn we've had just now. And I think of it and I think, as I would say carefully to David, what a favour. And I hope we all know something of him. Oh, God's wonderful kindness to us. And oh, as going through the hymn, you know, I look back to when I was involved in a dangerous sport, and my feet made haste to hell. You know, he saw me ruined in the pool, loved me notwithstanding all, and he saved me from my lost estate, and firstly by his quickening me into newness of life, giving me spiritual life. But you know, before that I was sporting with death. But oh, Satan's blind slave I was. But he stopped me in my wild career. I hope some of you can identify with these things of the wonderful favour of God, of God's wonderful grace. But come in, friends, especially thinking still of what we were considering this morning, and the being cast down, the many changes God's people know, and the question why aren't they cast down, and that reality that there is always a reason for God's people being cast down, and it's very much always, nearly always, if not always, it's their own sin and wretchedness, the plague within, what brings them to be greatly cast down. It may be other things, but friends, tonight, as we come to this, to consider what this dear apostle experienced, how, as in this 9th verse, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then the wonderful effect upon the apostle, the grace given him, brings him to make this statement himself. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Oh, friends, oh, do you have such infirmities? Do you know anything of the thorn in the flesh, the painfulness of whatever it is in your life? In one, it may be different to another. Oh, the powers much differ with God's people, but there's one thing in them all. They're all troubled and burdened over sin. They're all burdened. They're all brought to know something of conviction and being convinced of sin. And oh, what they carry in this way is, it may be and could be, could be considered and acknowledged a thorn in the flesh. And of course it says a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Oh, and all the reason is perfectly known in God's purpose, and he makes it known to his people. Paul knew why he had to have the continuing of this thorn in the flesh. God made him, gave him to know it, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. You know, friends, we do need to be kept down. We do need, the treachery of our wicked hearts would take advantage of even the blessing of the Lord in that way, to gather some praise to our flesh. Oh, we've got self-love, friends. We've got self-esteem. And you know, even under God's blessing, the way of Satan in the old man will encourage us to glory in ourselves and not glory in the Lord. And God has to deal with us to break us of these sad things of the ways of the old nature. The carnal mind takes different ways, different objects she surveys, different from grace, friends. But as we've been singing of grace, the wonderful grace of God, my grace is sufficient for thee, and God's people experience this in the early days of their experiences. Of course, God's converting grace is all sufficient to make a sinner become alive spiritually. Or I should say God's quickening grace to make them become alive spiritually. And then being led on in the way, and many things of the ways of the old nature and the ways of conflict that they have to know, the pathway appointed for them, and many sorrows. One says, amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach our hearts to pray, and let us taste thy special grace and run to Christ, their hiding place. The Lord works, and in his will he so has ordered it, his people have to go through trial and tribulation. They have to have affliction. They have to know that earth is a polluted spot. It's not to be a rest. It's the wilderness. It's the path of tribulation. Tribulation, more or less, God's people must and shall endure, and that is in the will of God. But friends, as we look at the context here, Paul wonderfully is given to be led to honestly explain, and he has the favour to acknowledge how greatly, highly he'd been so favoured, even lifted up to the third heaven, how he'd been so greatly blessed. Think of what he was before. Oh, how he persecuted the church. And I have thought many times it may be his remembrance of how he persecuted the church may make up part of this thorn in the flesh, his sorrow over it, his feeling the accountability for it. Although now he's blessed, he's favoured. He's favoured to know Jesus Christ as his Saviour, his Lord. He is wonderfully favoured. But look at this foregoing few words here. He explains, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then this, for this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, and he said, God said, and he said, and you can understand this as words spoken to him by God, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit giving him to be in exercise and applying the word of God, what God said. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, whatever you are in, whatever weight and burden you carry, trial you're in, hardness of path, the conflict, his grace is sufficient. Oh, he's the God of all grace. I've proved this over the years, wonderfully been favoured to know it, that God's grace is sufficient. Yes, he will give grace. The word very precious to me and my dear one, he will give grace and glory. We do know and prove the favour of it. What a wonderful thing it is. It's in the word as it is here. My grace is sufficient. But I want to especially dwell upon God's saving grace. Oh, his grace is sufficient in all the ways it's needed to be so, as God perfectly knows what his people need, their state and condition, their pathway, Their afflictions, their sorrows are all known to God. You know, one put it, our sorrows in the scales he weighs and measures out our pains in his perfect sovereign will. And so he, our God, knows our need and has that in his hand to do, to apply, to supply our need and to effect in us what he, God, in his holy, perfect wisdom and will, has purposed we must know. We must receive and know his teaching, his favour, his blessing, his wonderful saving mercies, his wonderful saving grace. And so, the favour, friends, especially, my grace is sufficient for thee to save thee from sin and death and hell and unto heaven. You may even have, and some have had very solemnly, the feeling that their sins are so great and so solemn almost that it's impossible for them to be saved. And you know, God will by the Spirit show and convict and convince the people of God of their sin, and he will so cause them perhaps much solemnity of feeling of how they are, and so bad, so guilty. Oh, but friends, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, there is power in the blood of Christ to put away a Mary and a Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than they. My grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, for thee to have grace to believe, to endure, grace to continue in the pathway, grace that will keep you alive, but, oh, in the highest, most needed, most wonderful way, oh, my grace is sufficient. Oh, friends, there's a hymn, I think I'm right in the number of it, 760. I think that's right. All sufficient is our Jesus. Though our sins are black as hell, from pollution he can relieve us. Oh, from from Satan's deepest hell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sins. Friends, my grace is sufficient in every way. God's grace is sufficient for his people. Oh, when you feel your malady, feel your guilt, have a very heavy burden on your back. Oh, when you are so weighted down with guilt of sin. Oh, when you have so much to grieve over in the way you are. But look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Friends, my grace is sufficient for salvation. Oh, for everything, for the child of God, God's grace is sufficient. Oh, and then the favour of salvation, redemption. Gazby's hymn is very, very blessed and precious in his highest work, redemption. See his glory in the blaze, claiming our supreme attention to his wondrous works and ways. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sins. God's highest work is redemption. I believe Gazby's got it right. And oh, to see God's glory in the blaze, in the way of the wonderful way the Son of God took all our transgressions and made them his own. My grace is sufficient for thee. So if you're a character who feel ever so much and very solemnly that your sin is so great, so much, and I'll tell you this, the very hard and solemn reality of experience of really being convicted and convinced as a sinner, and feeling your guilt, condemned under the law, but then favoured to be raised to a hope and to believe in Jesus Christ as faith is given thee, but you know the tribulation, the conflict, the way of the painfulness of your case and state will be much more adverse to you when Satan craftily roars and afflicts you and tells you you quite mistook the way. Satan will try to absolutely rob you of any hope. One put it, nor will Satan spare to say they was quite mistook the way. And you think of the burden of this in the way it is. Some of us have had it deeply when Satan is telling us we're not one of God's people. We can't be. We're too bad. It may even be he tempts you and tells you you've committed the unpardonable sin. That will not be so with God's people. But he is the tempter. To cause despair is the scope of Satan, to sink us in the doom, friends. But God's wonderful grace, it saves. It's able to save unto the uttermost. Saving grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, here we know weakness. We're no match for the enemy. We have to solemnly admit that. And we may be very weak, very low, very much feeling our poverty and shame over our sin. But my strength. It's wonderful to be strengthened by God. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When a child of God is feeling the weakness, feeling so helpless, feeling so guilty, and feeling awfully in a place of hopelessness, and the Lord by the Spirit comes and he gives some blessed witness that we are the children of God. I think of the words in Paul's epistle to the Romans in the 8th chapter, where it is wonderfully stated, the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Surely we are the children of God. We wouldn't be concerned about our sin. We wouldn't know conviction of sin. We wouldn't know any concern as before holy God. We wouldn't be in anything of a solemn exercise if we were not among those in whom the work of the Spirit has been begun. And the way of the Spirit is to cause people, the people of God, the children of God, to know what they are, and to know their need of salvation, and know their need of a precious Christ and all what he's done. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to poor, wretched sinners who are in hopelessness, guilt and shame of what they are. He shows them. He reveals to them the wonderful way of God for salvation, in giving his dear beloved Son to come to this world. The wonderful way of salvation by divine substitution, that the favour that God's people shall know is that Jesus came and took all our transgressions and made them his own. We know it's stated of him, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And how the apostle, so affected under this wonderful word that God spoke to him. How he says, most gladly therefore will I bear mine infirmities. Do you know something of that, friends? If you've been blessed, as you've been favoured, God has, in that wonderful way, given you such a word to give you to know and believe and to rely upon him, that his grace is sufficient and his wonderful way of his saving grace, and seeing Jesus, your Lord, suffering in your place. And now, in the favour of these wonderful things that God reveals by the Spirit, then it has such an effect in the people of God. It had such a great effect upon the Apostle Paul. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Now he's not asking, he's not seeking they be took away. He's seeking grace to bear them. He's seeking grace to carry his cross. I hope I know something of it. I hope I have some exercise in this way to carry the cross as he has appointed it for us. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And as knowing this from God, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, the apostle, there he is, so favoured under grace. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. God has sent them for my good. It's God's will. The witness of the Spirit is of his love and mercy. He has so ordered it to keep me down, to make me humble, to keep me low. Oh, that we may be in a low state, humble, have a contrite heart, and be in this way, living, looking up, relying upon God, praising him from day to day. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. And this is the part we come to as we go on, friends. And this is where we want to find, I hope, the marrow and fatness tonight. Oh, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Friends, this is what will be, I believe, in every child of God, especially when they're blessed and established in the faith. They desire this. They want this. You know, one favour, even the early favours, of tokens of God's love, of the love of Christ. In these ways, God will win his people's affection, binding their soul fast, and his people going on to know, to experience the wonders of redeeming love, the wonders of God's saving grace. There is this desire then, above everything else, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And oh, nothing more wonderful and blessed in God's way of sanctifying his people, separating his people out for his praise, than this, friends. And the apostles given to know the great favour of it in some measure desires more that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, like as we have it in the 116th Psalm, God's people that are blessed, they will have a continuing exercise and knowing and feeling their need to continue to call upon the Lord as long as they live. The psalmist there has wonderful things to testify how he's brought by the wonderful grace of God to love the Lord in that way, because he's heard my voice and my supplications. And he said, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And he then gives acknowledgement of what he'd passed through and how the Lord had brought him through, how he'd had to cry unto the Lord in his trouble, and how the Lord saved him out of his distresses and so on, and how in this way he was living, in this way, and I believe in his experience, in some measure, that the power of Christ would rest upon me. Think of Paul, think of the apostles. There are those that say they were eyewitnesses of the sufferings of Christ. You see, this is it. The Lord brings his people not actually to be eyewitnesses, but by faith they behold the Lord. They see him on the cross for them. They see him in Gethsemane. They see him in the judgment hall. They see him by faith suffering in their place. And oh, what wondrous things when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, and thorns compose so rich a crown? Friends, the power of God to see your Lord and to feel the power of redemption, the power of in the blood of Christ upon you, or resting upon you in the way of the favour, so being blessed to feel the favour granted, the blessing granted, the way the Spirit works, as we've said, testifying of Christ, the way the Spirit seals redemption upon his people. The perfect will and purpose of God is that God's people shall, Paul speaks of it in Romans, receive the atonement and know the favours of redemption, know the favours of forgiveness and pardon. This is what is known. These are the favours known by the people of God, and Paul desires them. I believe he already knows them. He desires them again and more, that the power of God may see the word rest upon me. Oh, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We have tokens, we have glimpses, we have favours. It may be moments. One of him writes, says, sweet the moments, rich in blessing. It may be moments, but if you have one moment, I believe you'll want more. Paul knew favours of God's wonderful love. They wanted more. Oh, we hope we're made thankful for present favours. Oh, we ask for more. We desire more. Oh, the blessed appetite, the need of the soul and the child of God is they need food, they need more, they need to partake. They need to feed upon Christ, who is the Paschal Lamb. Oh, the power of Christ, his love, his loving kindness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Friends, is this your exercise? Do you know something of what the apostle experienced in, if I may say, and I wouldn't say it wrongly in a wrong way, but your little way? I feel it like that. I have to say myself, my little way of God's favour, but it's not little, it's wonderful. But compared to Christ, everything. I mean, compared to Paul the Apostle, what he knew of Jesus Christ, what he knew of the favours of the power of Christ, and what he was desiring to have more of the favours of the power of Christ may rest upon me. Rest. Oh, be upon me. And I continue to know the favour of it. The power of Christ, the power of Christ for forgiveness, the power of Christ for pardon, the power in the blood of Christ that puts away a Mary and a Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than they, oh, even my sins. The power of Christ may rest upon me, and the power of his love. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. That's the will of God. That's the purpose of God. And Paul knows, he desires it, to know it, experience it, to know the favour of it, the freeness, the liberty, the favour of joy and peace in believing in Jesus Christ and receiving the great, wonderful favours of the love of God, the love of Christ, the power of Christ. May rest upon me. Oh, rest upon me to cause me to be in a state and a way of exercise to live unto him, to glorify God, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, these ways are, I'm sure, desired by the apostle. Oh, in you and me, friends, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that we may really, truly, wonderfully know, oh, the wonders of redeeming love. Feel the favours of forgiveness and pardon, even justification by faith, that the Son of God be known, thinking of it, him in his wonderful, perfect, complete work he did, in his sacrifice, his death, his glorious resurrection, and also remembering and relying upon what our Lord, the Lord himself, as he has taken up his holy offices in heaven. Oh, that he is our all in all. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. As we've sung it, let me think, we sung it this morning, I think, and then too, in the service this afternoon at Ashwell. Oh, I may so be blessed that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that, friends, is, oh, if it is as a special, wonderful, holy grant of our God, which the apostle desired, and he, I believe, proved it, and God's people in their measure according to the will of God will know and prove it, the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I tell you what, I believe it will effect sanctification. It's part of the way, and the experience of it is for the purpose of God separating his people out to his praise, honour and glory. His people begin to praise him, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's that which is so effected in them by the power of Christ resting upon them that will cause them to praise God more and more, to prepare them for praises in glory forever and ever. Oh, the wonders of redeeming love, the wonders God alone can do, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, even me, how he desires it. And so in all this that he had to know, in his pathway, in his many things of tribulation, and in this way, giving it in a way of example to others, what he knew, and that his people will know, God's people will know, to these Corinthians, and to the people, many that read these words, God's word is everlasting. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away. Do you, friends, feel you know something of these things? It may be to some here tonight they seem so high. They are high and holy, blessed and sacred, but they're in the word of God for God's special purpose, that he shall use his word, bringing his people into these things of his wonderful way, granting them to experience the wonderful things of his sovereign purpose, for them to know salvation, to be prepared for glory, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think of it like this, the rest of our days, till we get safely home. The power of Christ may rest upon me. You know the Lord's gone before his people. He is there in heaven, as we know. But he did say wonderfully, he gave, and the words were recorded by John, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will give you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit, and how he will come again and receive us unto himself, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, especially while I'm in Meshach, especially while I'm in this pilgrimage journey, even this dangerous way, you know, I need to be kept I need to be kept alive. I need to be given to know and continue to know the favours of the love of Christ, the power of Christ may rest upon me till I get home in heaven, till the Lord brings me to that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If this power of Christ is upon us, resting upon us, friends, surely Satan will not be able to get us. He will not be able to overcome this one, the wonderful, wonderful person, the Saviour. Oh, he is able to save unto the uttermost. The Son of God is. And the power of Christ is His saving grace. He's saving, He saves by His grace. It's what He has done, what He has accomplished. It's what He's brought in by His sacrifice, His suffering unto death, even the death of the cross, His victory over the grave. Oh, He rose again for His people's justification. The witness is it in this same epistle and the previous epistle of the resurrection of Christ. And here, I think it's the previous epistle, the apostle comes to this, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the power of Christ is victory. All what He's accomplished, and He's done it, accomplished for His people. He saved His dear people. He provides for them. He cares for them perfectly. His holy heart and affection for His people. The power of Christ may rest upon me. And that power in His holy blood that is so effectual to put away their sin, to make them holy. They might be sanctified and made holy, made prepared for heaven. Prepared to so be right and kept and welcomed home at last. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Rest, the continuing, or the being led on, the Lord leading His people in the way everlasting. The power of Christ, oh, His love, the loving kindness of the Lord. Think of how the 107th Psalm concludes. He that is wise and will observe these things, even them, they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Friends, it's in and by the power of Christ resting upon God's people. It's nothing of their own things, of any creature merit. It's all what Christ has done and what He is doing now for the church in His pleading their cause in heaven, His intercession, His advocacy, His mediation. It's everything He's attending to now, and it's all grounded upon what He accomplished here on earth. He pleads. You know, if your sins are very much heavy upon you, you fear, and Satan says, you're too bad, but you know, you plead for mercy. You may not feel you're pleading as it should be, but your Lord, He presents your prayer, perfect in the court of heaven. He doesn't plead anything of merit of yours. He pleads what He has done. He pleads His own merit, and His merit is perfect. It is holy. It is absolutely acceptable with God in the court of heaven what Christ has done. And God's people brought to be made accepted in Him the Beloved. Made accepted in the Beloved. Think of those words in Ephesians 1. Made accepted in the Beloved. Think of the words in Ephesians 2. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, the favour. The blood of Christ has brought us nigh, friends. invaluable blood. Oh, wonder of wonders. Oh, God accepts his people in that way by the favour of the redemption that is in Christ being applied to them, the blood applied, and the robe of righteousness put upon them, the imputation of Christ's righteousness. This is how God's people are blessed, how they're saved, how they're prepared for heaven. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. But think of it like this, the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ, giving you to feel the wonders of God's grace, the wonders of redeeming love. And I believe in this way, this is the way of the Lord giving his people to experience the wonderful favours of the love of God, the love of Christ, and the favour of the power of Christ resting upon them, because it cannot be and will never be taken from them, because they are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, by the favour of God, bringing us to know by experience that we are sons and heirs of God. Oh, and even in the path of tribulation. Oh, friends, the way of safety is let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of thy salvation. And all what you are suffering, he has suffered so much more. And he has suffered in your place. He's borne the curse for you. He's redeemed you by his own blood. Friends, may the Spirit apply it to you. I wouldn't want to say it like that to any of you just to think it. You want the Spirit's seal of it. And I humbly hope there are those of you, and we pray it may be all of us in God's blessed time, may know the favour that fool desires in this wonderful acknowledgement. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. James Gudgeon next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 105. 105. When I by faith my Maker see, in weakness and distress, brought down to that sad state for me, which angels can't express. Hymn 105.
Oh, dear Lord, do grant it. Those last words, grant it to us each, Lord. We do so much need it. Forgive anything, Lord, that has seen amiss in our services this day. Own and bless thy word, Lord, we beg. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.